Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, where we help you discover how faith and business come together in, I think, powerful and surprising ways. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Haston. In today's episode, we're going to take a fresh look at a topic that we talk all the time in the business, ROI, return on investment. And we're also going to talk about the power of mentors.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're flipping the script a little bit because in the kingdom, ROI doesn't always look like profits and performance metrics. Sometimes it looks like transformed lives and general impact or generational impact and faithfully building something that only God sees the full return on. And that's a hard one sometimes for business leaders who come into the kingdom and go, wait, I have to do this different, maybe with a different model than I would have done if I had done it for my own intention.
Yeah, you mean they have to have honor and character and morality? That?
Yes. Well, we're seeing the shaking of the nations right now, you know, nations like China or the Middle East who are like actually having a moral decline. And that's been statistically proven in their own countries. And we're watching business leaders just fail and businesses, top banks are failing. It's wild to watch, but we understand why, because when you have a kingdom mindset or if you have a Christian mindset, it actually changes your opportunities in life and especially with your ROI.
Well, today, Sean, in real talk, we're going to dig in about how to invest your time and your money and your energy in a way that's smart, not only smart, but spirit-led. We're going to talk about if something looks like loss, what do we do? How do we build eternal dividends? And how do we bring people into this process with us when it's hard? Because being an entrepreneur, being in the marketplace, being a leader of a ministry is hard and lonely.
Yeah. And then we're going to hear from Eric Dunavon, who's one of the people who's actually coined the term ROI, kingdom ROI, and it's return on intention versus return on investment, which is a really fun thought. But he's going to share some of his story and some of how he was mentored and was launched out of kind of a place that where he had a, what do you call it? Like a poverty mindset or a limited belief system. And he got launched into a mindset of abundance because of a relationship he had through a mentor. And I just think this kingdom ROI method is pretty epic. So we're going to talk about that too. Well, let's get into our real talk right after this. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. Well, Bob, in business, ROI is everything, but in God's economy, it's not just about money, of course. It's about eternal return and change lives, generational healing, moments of obedience and fruit that last long after all these financial spreadsheets are going to be gone. I remember the first time I heard the term God's ROI, it was actually down in San Diego. There's a businessman down there who had this whiteboard in his farm office, and it was just all over the whiteboard, and it said Kingdom ROI. I'd never heard that before. I'd met Eric yet. And I was like, what is that? And he starts explaining to me exactly what we're talking about today, which I believed in, but I never had terms for. It's a brilliant concept.
Yeah. If you, you know, we tend to only measure success by what we can calculate, you know, look at our P&Ls or our cash flows or spreadsheets about what God's doing in our life or our business. But in my life, you know, some of the greatest investments I've made are into people and people have made into me. And I, you know, Sean, I've talked about this before. I've had these three men, Pastor Don and Lauren's dad, Willie, and my uncle Lou, speaking into my life as, as advisors, as mentors, as fathers in my life. And this week, Uncle Lou passed away. And, like, it's up to me now. All that they have, all that they poured into me, I get to continue on the journey of pouring out. And I think when we talk about Kingdom ROI, we have to talk about the massive impact that people have had into our lives and that we have into other people's lives. Sean, you and I both don't believe in self-made men or the concept of a self-made person. So this is an interesting topic today.
Well, it's, you never put the business topic together with the Great Commission, which is go make disciples of all, you know.
Right.
And when you think about it, the fact that discipleship is Kingdom ROI and that discipleship's what empowers people. And whether I've had so many conversations and so many interviews where I'm talking to people and they'll tell me, like, I was meeting with the people who mentor the Irwin brothers who've now made the House of David films. And they just talked about how, like, you want to make a film? We'll finance it. We'll help you, but let's walk through your life too. And slept on their couch here in Dallas and worked on this project and went through the highs and lows with them. And I just think, like, there's always someone behind the scenes. Whenever you see somebody who's having great impact, there's always somebody who had greater impact, and maybe not in a visible way, and some of them did, but there's always people who had a greater impact because they impacted their lives to be able to empower them to do that. And I think that you and Lauren are such great examples of that. And I think that there's other people who God's raising up, because there's so few mentors and fathers and mothers. And I think part of the next great thing that God's going to be pushing out there the most is fathers and mothers, people who actually mentor, people who actually give time and space and energy. And that it's going to bring such ROI back to those people as well.
Yeah. It's funny, until you, how do I say this nicely? Encouraged me, exhorted me, roped me into the podcast. Yeah. I was a behind the scenes person and I liked it there and I was comfortable there. And, but God puts different calls on our lives in different seasons. And I know that, you know, as we move forward talking about the power of people in our lives and the power of Kingdom ROI, I know you love statistics. And so we have some statistics to kind of back up what we're talking about.
Well, here's some quick research insight. You know, I love to look these up, but 2019 report from the Global Impact Investing Network found that over 60% of faith-driven investors prioritize impact first before finance first, which is crazy. That's like no other people group does this for outcomes, especially in areas like education, healthcare, and ministry advancement. And we're seeing these, I mean, whether it be the Hobby Lobby family, whether it be the Greens or the Chick-fil-A people, or like some of the bigger businesses that we know are Christian run or influenced, you could see their impact, that they're not, their bottom line isn't how much more money they're making. They're doing some things in society, both in a humanitarian front, but both also on a church front that no one's ever done before. McKinsey and Company found that purpose-driven businesses consistently outperform peers in long-term value, but the gains take longer to materialize. So that's one of the reasons why some people just give up. They just don't do it that way. So translation is, long-term values-based investment creates deeper impact, even if the financial ROI takes longer. And that's, perseverance is one of the things the world just doesn't have.
Yeah, it's interesting. My son is a money manager, and he has this long-term viewpoint, and he looks for companies that are managed well. And that's what he says. I'm looking for companies that are managed well, but what he's really looking for are like you said, impact first, companies that are having impact.
Wow.
And I think there's people who are always trying to take shortcuts in their lives and investing in every area. And investing is one area where finding companies that are managed well and taking a long-term approach pays dividends over time. And this is part of the Kingdom ROI that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think most people, again, comes down to perseverance. Most people just, it's not ingrained in us to be patient or have perseverance. Right. Now, when you become a Christian, God challenges you and convicts you in those two areas the most, I think, because it develops character. You know, it says in James 1, consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials and tribulations of many kinds, because it develops perseverance, and perseverance develops character, and character develops hope. When you live in a land of hope, you're never disappointed. And there's something about that scripture in James that if you're not a believer, you cannot develop the same kind of grit or capacity for perseverance, because you don't have the same kind of end goal, which is eternity and eternal value, as somebody who has that goal. And I feel like that's a huge striking difference that we're going to see more and more as time goes on towards the return of Jesus. We're going to see more and more people who look different because of perseverance.
Yeah, I love that scripture. A lot of times it's taught from the pulpit, consider it pure joy when you go through fiery trials, and they stop there. But what you said is true. Because what does it produce? Perseverance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in this, we're in a marathon. We're not in a sprint. And I love everything you said about it. You know, going back to this kingdom ROI, Luke 16 says, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And so, you know, it goes back to the principle in Deuteronomy, don't despise small beginnings. And we have to all start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we have this compounding interest, this phenomena of that. And when we watch all that, when we persevere, when we take the long-term approach, I can't encourage you enough. Don't ask what's the profit, ask what's the purpose. Oh, that question will lead you towards kingdom returns.
Well, today our guest Eric Unavon is helping people do just this through coaching, and his company is called Kingdom ROI Method, and it's a powerful new book. We're going to get right into it. And Eric himself is a financial strategist and founder of Kingdom ROI Method, a framework that challenges conventional wealth building and invites believers to invest in what truly matters. And Eric's the author of this new best-selling book called At the Bistro with Bob, which is a moving story of mentorship, purpose, and the kind of wisdom that reshapes your priorities. He's helping families and leaders fight what he calls the greatest wealth heist in history, the belief that success is just about money. And today he's here to help us discover what true Kingdom ROI looks like, and also to tell us the story of why he even got into this in the first place.
Up next, Eric Unavon.
I want to invite you to come and grow in the prophetic and spiritual gifts, and you have to do this intentionally or you won't see the results you want. We have a powerful tool for you called the Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community. We do 4-week live courses with amazing speakers, and we have a prophetic nurturing community as well. And one of my favorite things that we do is online activation and connect groups with our pastors, so you actually have equipping opportunities to grow that are real time. You get to practice what you learn in classes. On top of that, I get to be your monthly prophetic accelerator coach and teach you how to go on a journey in the prophetic that maybe you've never been on before. And if you have been, you're going to get impartation. You get to ask your questions. You get real prayer. And the atmosphere that I said, I think, is one of the best you can have when pursuing hearing God's voice. 2025 is going to be our best year yet. Upcoming courses are all about how to grow deeper in the prophetic. We're going to talk about breaking curses in with the demonic, going after words of knowledge. And we have teachers who are going to give you the secrets of prayer. And we're going to help you move forward in God and all that he has for you. We care about your spiritual growth. And I know you care about it too. So come join us.
Welcome back. We're here with our friend, Eric Unavon, who's coming back to us for a second episode. Good to have you, Eric.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back, Bob.
Now, you were with us in the very first season, which is so fun to have you on again.
Yeah.
Because now we're 11, 12 million downloads in, and it's just been incredible. But I want to kind of bring our listeners onto a journey that you've been on. And you actually wrote a book about this relationship you had with a friend of yours named Bob, not our Bob, but another Bob, who really mentored you, and he took you on a journey through what I would describe as like a lot of limiting beliefs, a lot of understandings in the kingdom, and just who you are today as a man. A lot of it can be attributed from what you've said to these conversations you had. So take us kind of on this journey of mentoring that happened with Bob.
Yeah. So I was in kind of a really tough spot. I had two things going on. I mean, what are the most stressful things to do? I launch a business and move. Right? So you do those two things, and that can be really, really stressful. Yeah. So my wife, Angel, and I had just moved to the New Orleans area, and I'm starting a financial services practice. And so I've got two stresses that are going on. And one of the things that I talk a little bit in the book, but I was out just trying to build relationships and just trying to get to know people along the way. Oh, by the way, it's 2007, just so that you guys get an idea when this is and when this is going on.
The economy was cooking, right?
Right, Eric? It was great. Everybody wanted a financial advisor then.
Well, the good news is in early 07, people were still okay with the financial advisors. By the time we got to 08, that things really got bad.
Yeah.
But I would go to eat lunch at this little bistro that was right next door to my office. And there was a gentleman who was having lunch there every single day. And or every single time I'd go in, he was there. I didn't know he was coming every day at that time. And I finally got up the courage and asked one of the waiters. I'm like, what's going on? Who is this guy? And so I went over and introduced himself. His name was Bob Pritchard. He was a World War II veteran, fighter pilot, who was an oil and gas guy from Oklahoma who had, wow. He starts to tell me a story, had moved to New Orleans. And he basically says, well, sit down and join me for lunch. And I'm like, okay. And so we start having a conversation and he, you know, you meet those people who are just like, so it like, before you know it, like they've sucked you in and you don't know what's happened. I mean, that was Bob. And so we just start having a conversation. And basically what it turned into is one lunch turned into a series of lunches over about a 10-year period. The story is built in a story so that we condense that down to 3 to 4 years if somebody gets the book. I mean, the book is all true, but it was really over about a 10-year period. And what Bob did, I mean, through the 07, 08 crisis, he was moving out of oil and gas and starting to liquidate some of his assets. And as we built up our friendship and he poured into me, he was like, well, I know you and you and I are building this relationship. And so he trusted me to manage his assets. Wow. But as I tell people, I think I learned more from Bob than Bob. Like Bob paid me during that season, but I think I should have been paying him for everything that he taught me about surviving that crisis. Cause that was a scary time, right? So you want to talk about fear and scarcity. I'm like, how am I going to survive this? And how am I going to do this? And I'm feeling this responsibility for managing people's money and taking care of, you know, taking them on and taking care of them. And he bought lunch every time and kept inviting me back to lunch and kept asking me really good questions and challenging me in ways. And on the book, what I talk about, but what Bob really taught me was he taught me that first and foremost, the most valuable thing is a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, that if we have relationships, that really matters. And then the other thing that he really taught me that became such a strong part of his mentorship and which brought me out of this mindset of scarcity and really more into abundance was kind of an idea that I attribute to him. I call common sense. I feel like we've lost that today. Yeah. Like, what is common sense anymore? You know, is it uncommon sense? What is it? But Bob just had such a practical way of looking at the world that even through the chaos and the noise, he would be like, Eric, just look at it this way and see God's abundance and look at what God's doing in the bigger scope and the bigger picture of the world. And it was just such a beautiful time at a season where I needed someone else to step in and speak into my life.
Wow. You know, I think it's interesting because you're starting a financial practice, a services business, but you're battling like all of us have at times with a scarcity mindset. And so talk to us a little bit about what that looked like and how you came out of it for our listeners who are battling with a scarcity mindset, with a poverty mindset, how to move into sort of that kingdom ROI or wealth.
Well, even before you do, like, don't do the principles. I want to hear the story. Like, what happened? Like, where was your family at? Where was your wife at? Yeah. You're in a new city. How are you guys actually surviving in that time?
Well, so Bob had such a generous spirit and such a generous family. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. So, I mean, we moved there and my oldest son, Clayton, who's now 24, he was born, but then my son Austin was born. And then, my daughter gets born in the course of the story. But like their daughter, Darcy, ends up being their babysitter. Like he's just like, so she'd come to lunch with him every now and then, and she gets to know us. And so she'd come over and babysit the kids. And what really, to get to the core of what Bob taught me, because I mean, this is about exploring the marketplace. And he kept saying to me, he's like, Eric, I need you to stop focusing on the stock market. The stock market's not something that even exists. He's like, you are helping me think about which businesses and companies I need to buy. I'm just an old oil man. I know how to run an oil business. And all I need you to do is help me think about which businesses I should be buying and which businesses we should be avoiding. And he forced me to go in and do real research projects on things that we might buy and things that we might put into his investments, which led more to just common sense. I mean, we would look at balance sheets and we would look at financials together, and he would show me, he's like, hey, look at, you know, from a financial standpoint, I'll give you one specific example that came up during that time. So you can see this. Municipal bonds are bonds inside of cities that are used to build bridges and schools and things like that. They're pretty safe from an overall perspective. During that time period, everyone was panicking around every type of asset. And he said, well, let's think about this from common sense. If everything's panicking, what are some of the safest assets that might be at a deep, deep discount right now that we could go buy that when the panic is over, we can make a profit simply off the fact that everyone is living in fear, but we know that abundance wins in the end anyway. And what we found was inside of some individual municipal bonds, we were able to go buy those at deep, deep discount prices because common sense just said when rationality returns, there is abundance inside of this product. And when this all comes back to reality, there's, you know, we can make a profit off of that idea. And it was just simply that idea. We went in and we bought those. And when things kind of settled down and everyone came back and go, wait a minute, those are not as bad as I thought they were. Off of a bond, you end up making a 10 or 15% return simply off of them returning to the prices they should have been at anyway, except for the fact that everybody was in panic. And it was just things like that, that he would do on a regular basis. I'll give you another example of a story that really, you're asking me what Angel was doing. Angel was in love with the fact, because I'd been praying and praying for a man to just speak into my life. You know, being a business owner is lonely. Yeah. And to have a man, who had already walked through business, and he would relate it back to, he's like, Eric, I've been through oil busts. I've been through, you know, I have drilled dry wells before. Yeah. I have, you know, there are things that just happen when you run a business. But at the end of the day, if God is the creator and he is your source, then the circumstances don't matter.
Wow.
So how do you stay in touch and in tune with what he's wanting you to do? And that's part of what Angel was like, well, then spend as much time with Bob as you can. And, exactly. You know, spend your time around him and get to know him more, because he's really putting wisdom into you as he's doing it. And he, again, he would just send me off on little projects and little ideas and then plant seeds of what God had done in his own life inside of me to go uncover. And then we'd come back and we'd have a discussion around what I had learned. Here's what I found, yeah. Bob. Here's what I learned, and here's what I saw. And most of the time, what was beautiful about it is he was never corrective, right? It was gentle nudges. He's like, okay, so if I got something wrong, he'd be more like, okay, so, but what if you looked at it this way instead of that? And that's where a lot of fixing the scarcity mindset was. Like, do you not see that you're bringing a little bit of fear to this thinking process? You're bringing some scarcity. An abundant mindset might look at it from this perspective. Why don't you take that back and look at it again and come back? But it wasn't like, you know, I think so many times we've had these people in our lives who we feel like we're just so corrective, like it became harsh on how it happened. And Bob was never that way.
I would say everybody needs a Bob. Well, you got your very own. I meant Bob Hassan, but you got your very own Bob, which is great. You know, I think with Bob's question too, with the scarcity mindset and how he just kind of walked you through real life. I think with mentoring, obviously not everybody has the same access to that quality of mentorship all the time. But I love how you're pragmatic and it was practical, where you just were like, I'm just going to have lunch with this guy. And I've told people for years, like if there's someone ahead of you and you're a business person, and they're ahead of you and you respect the way they do marriage and children and in business, just ask them for coffee or lunch and pay for it. And just ask them a bunch of questions. Like, and then if it works out, do it again. And just those two conversations might be more than, you know, you would get by paying for a mentor. You know, just start somewhere. I love that you just were so practical and that you went after it. What were your favorite things about that mentorship? And then also my second kind of follow-up question, that would be, has it caused you to mentor anybody? Has it caused you at this stage of life to go, I got to do this for some people. Like God, I'm going to pay it forward, so to speak.
Yeah. I think the favorite part for me is more maybe in reflection, the sweet, sweet memories. This is going to sound maybe a little corny, but it is really my favorite part of it. So when Bob retired, he sold all of his furniture. I sit behind Bob's desk every single day.
Oh, that's cool.
So when I come into my office, it's like a reminder that though Bob's not with us anymore, he's gone on to the kingdom, but you know, he's with me every single day when I sit down behind that desk. And it actually, I have known for years, and I've really been leaning into this idea of, yes, I have to mentor. Yes, I have to do that. But something happened this year. And part of it was, this is not for everybody. And I had an opportunity. God was like, I need you to do a 40-day fast. So I did it. It was hard. If you've ever done one of those, that's a hard experience. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone who's not, especially if you're not called.
Yeah.
But when I got done, everybody's like, what did you learn? And God was like, it's time to stop being a son and it's time to be a father.
Wow.
I need you to focus on being a father. And what that caused me to do was to recognize, you know, sometimes old habits stay with us. I was like, how many people in my life am I pursuing because I'm still trying to get them to father me, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I've got this ache inside of me. You know, I had the bob, which was good, but you always have these. And God was like, look, that season's over. I need you to be done with that season because it is time for you to go father now, because what you are doing, and when you're trying to get somebody else to pour into you, you're now missing moments where I need to be so focused on pouring into others.
Wow.
That's so good, Eric. In my life, I had three men in my life and they've all passed. Mm. And my Uncle Lou just passed a few days ago.
Oh.
And it's bittersweet and it's sweet, but what the Lord's been showing me is like, okay, it's official.
Mm.
All the things that these three men have poured into you and you've been pouring out for years, now it's official. You're the guy.
Yes.
And you put it so beautifully by saying, you know, it's time to be a father rather than a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we see that at different stages in our life. And by you writing the book, I think that's the first step in that. Giving the wisdom that Bob Pritchard gave to you now out to the world. And so how do you see your life going forward, not just because you're an author and you've released this book, but that the Lord's given you this mandate now as a father?
Well, there's a couple of things. I was reflecting on this morning. It's really easy to fall back into bad habits or into old habits, mm-hmm. right? To be like, why didn't somebody do this? Oh, wait a minute. That's more of a son response than a father response, right? Yeah. If I am a son of God, then I recognize that sonship now allows me to lead like a father. If I can really understand who I am as his son, I can lead as a father. But the other thing, there's another element of something going on, if you don't mind me sharing the story, but last weekend, I just graduated my youngest. So the baby graduated high school.
That's a big deal. Congratulations. And
thank you. But the week before that, we had had all of our teams in, and Bob, you're going to recognize this more probably than you are, Sean, but I looked around the room and as our business is growing, I started recognizing there was one of my employees who had his baby son with him, and the baby started crying and he was starting to leave the room. And I said, would you please stay here and please leave your son in this room? And he's like, what? I said, the only person that baby's bothering is you. You don't understand that baby is not bothering the rest of us, but I'm sitting in the season, this moment of God going, look, the next season is coming. I start looking around and the producer of my show is standing over here. He just turned 30 today. I went out to lunch today with a bunch of guys other than him who are all under the age of 30. My employees are all in their mid to late 20s and having kids. Guess what was going on when I started this business? Was in my mid to late 20s, early 30s, and having kids. So my kids were the first generation that grew up in here. Wow. And what God is just showing me is this really is a fathering season. Mm-hmm. And I've put certain men and women around you to father inside of this business at exactly this moment. And I'm watching the next generation of kids being born. And then it is like my kids are not kids anymore. My kids are adults that happen to be my children. And it's a different role that I'm seeing it even more than ever that was just brought to my attention through my daughter's graduation.
That's so wild. I remember, you know, being in LA and, you know, all my friends who started churches at the same time, because there's a big group of us that would meet together. I had a church there that's still going on now, but I passed it over to the current pastors. And I started from scratch. And I mean, it was like during 2007 and 8. So it was during like the recession. There was also a writer's strike. And I remember just going, God, I need a sugar daddy. Like I need a benefactor. Come on, God, like give me somebody. And just because all my friends had like these big mega churches behind them, or they had like some big millionaire person behind them, and we just had nothing. And I was like, I was traveling a lot just to try and get extra income for the church to be able to survive. And I felt like God spoke to me and said, Sean, be the benefactor, be a father. Don't look for it. And even if it's, if your bank account has this much, take 25% of it and put it towards this, or 50% of it, put it towards this. Even if it's a little, you can give a little. And so I took the whole church through an assignment of like, let's all give in this season and try and provide for others in our need. And it was such a profound time where I watched 30-year-olds actually become like very nurturing and very fatherly and come out of that mindset that you talked about earlier, which is like, where's my people? Who's going to help me? And they went into like, God is helping me. I'm going to help you. And right. So I think that people who are listening right now, I hope that they don't wait until they're 50 or 60 or whatever age for that to become reality. Because as kingdom stewards, the disciples were all like teenagers. So we're like,
that's right.
So I think we can start out in that mentality because we have the Father in heaven, and then we also get mentors. So I love what you're saying so much. And I love what's happening in your business. Tell us about the book. Tell us about how people can engage your business and everything else.
Yeah. So the book is called At the Bistro with Bob. It's learning to pursue joy, celebrate relationships, and use common sense. It's available anywhere books are sold. But for people who are listening, we've got the Amazon Kindle version on for 99 cents for a limited time right now. So go into Amazon Kindle, you get that for 99 cents right now. I tell people, especially if you buy the copy, it's less than 100 pages, and there's 5 pages of pictures in there. So
that's easy.
It's a quick and easy story. The business is Kingdom ROI, kingdomroi.org. ROI stands for return on an intention to us, because what we really want to be is intentional about what God is up to in the world and where he is moving and working. And right now, part of that is, you know, learning to be a father and learning to really have that abundance mindset of what is he. I just would say this, especially to your listeners and everything, really quick, if I could, which is right now, as I'm watching it happen in my own house, like a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress and a lot of like, oh my goodness, what's happening politically and who's doing this and what's doing that? And what we know is that is not God's nature nor his spirit. So how and where can you look for mentors or people or others who can step into and speak peace and reality over what is truly happening? Because I think right now, if we will look for where God's moving and what he's up to and what he's doing in this season, I think there's a, if you want to know why I think the noise is so loud, I think there's a great revival coming, and the noise is so loud because the enemy does not like it, but he can see that swelling momentum. And so as people are out there, I mean, following Kingdom ROI on any of the social media, we're just about trying to share that message of abundance and peace and impact. Because if we're sitting on the sidelines in fear, we can't act. But if we're in abundance and peace and impact, we can be in a place of actually going out and making a difference in the world, which is, you know, that has nothing to do with the government. That is kingdom. That is what God called us to do.
Wow. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being with us again. I love your book. And we're just honored you came back with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'll come back anytime you ask.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.